Today on More to Life, hard times. You going through a tough time? Or care about someone who is? Not sure what God wants you to do? Let us help you discern those next steps and discover the clarity, confidence, and healing you need. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the world. Warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, hard times. You know, we all experience particular challenges or frustrations that can make us just feel a little burned out, frustrated.
Scared.
Are you going through a tough time and you're not sure what God wants you to do about it? Or is someone you care about going through a tough time and you're not sure how to help them? We want to help you discern your next steps and discover the clarity, confidence, and healing you're looking for. Give us a call, 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825. And, you know, on the face of it, it seems like a very broad topic today. I mean, we're talking about problems, right? And everybody's got problems of all kinds. But the one thing about this topic is that no matter what the problem is that you're facing or the problem you're trying to help someone you care about with, how we think about those problems and how we break those problems down, regardless of what they are, really has a lot to do with our ability to solve those problems. And if we have what I might call a more problem-focused mindset instead of the more solution-focused mindset we're going to talk about through the show, we tend to get swallowed up by the problem.
Oh, yeah.
And stuck in it. And so we want to talk about how whatever the problem is, it doesn't matter what it is, how do we approach that problem in a grace-filled way that allows us to see the solutions that God has in His heart for us?
You know, when you say we get kind of bogged down or stuck in the problem, it's not that the problem gets bigger. It's that our receptivity to the Holy Spirit to show us the way to go to get through that problem and get to where God wants us to be. And to be open to His guidance, open to His love, open to His comfort. Our brains shut down when we just think about the problem, when we're just fueling it. And I can testify to this because I grew up in a difficult situation, very much this kind of locked down brain situation was kind of planted in my brain. And I had to work my way out of it with the help of the Holy Spirit, with the help of God. It can be changed. If you're saying, no, this is just my personality. No, it can be changed. And when we are problem focused, and we can spiral out, we can see the problem and then draw fictionalized extensions of where that problem is going to take us to more problems. We lock down our brains and we lock down our receptivity to the Holy Spirit moving in us. But when we begin to train ourselves to be more solution focused, to be more open to the promptings of the Holy Spirit to lead us to those solutions, that begins to change everything. We begin to see miracles happen. We begin to see our brains perceiving the right next step. We really can, with God's grace, change so much about the problems we have to go through.
And
you know, it's life.
And I'm glad you mentioned, that this was something that you had to kind of learn. Because honestly, it's something I had to learn too.
And which always surprises me because you are really solution focused as a human being.
Well, yeah, but you know, I my feelings, as you well know, are all right on the surface, right? And so my initial reaction to any problem is to get flooded by it. Mm-hmm. And I've had to work really hard over the years to shift out of that emotional reaction space so that I can be more solution focused, the things we're going to talk about today. So, I mean, honestly, people, if I can learn it, anybody can learn it. I just want to encourage everybody out there, because sometimes folks think, well, this is just the way I am, and this is how I have to be. When I face a problem, this is what happens to me. Yeah, you know, I mean, look, we all start out as fallen human beings in the place that we're at. But through God's grace, we can learn to respond differently, and that's what we want to talk about today. Whatever the problem is that you're facing, or whatever problem you're trying to help someone manage more effectively, we want to help you find grace-filled ways to address that problem and respond in a powerful, solution-focused, grace-filled manner. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. And you might be thinking, well, you know, how could some theology help me manage problems more effectively? Well, you come to the right place. So when St. John Paul was Pope, he asked kind of a big question. He said, if we looked at everything God's given us, creation, scripture, salvation, history, I mean, literally everything, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for human flourishing and healthy, holy relationships? And his answer to that question became what we now call the theology of the body.
And when we're faced with a problem, and as we said, we're all going to face problems, the theology of the body reminds us that we need to resist our natural fallen tendency to let ourselves be limited or even defined by the obstacles we perceive. When we do that, the problem-solving parts of our brain, as we were saying, they just shut down. And then we feel stuck and discouraged and even tempted to settle or, God forbid, despair.
All right, but the theology of the body invites us to step back and embrace the bigger picture. When we face difficulties, the first thing that we need to do is pray. Something like, Lord, I don't know what to do, but I place myself in your hands. Show me the next step and teach me how to find the resurrection that comes after this cross.
And we need to remember to pray daily. As long as the problem persists, we have to trust God will reveal his answer step by step as we pray daily and seek him.
Well, and not just pray daily, but specifically pray that prayer daily, yeah, so that we're asking for God's input on this decision and each of those steps. And, you know, St. John Paul taught that human beings live in tension between what he called historical man, which is his term for the way things are, versus eschatological man, which was his term for how God is making things to be. We live inside both of those realities at the same time, the now and not yet fulfilled. St. John Paul reminds us that even though there are very real obstacles that come between how the world is now and how God intends things to be, grace always opens a door to a way forward.
That's right. And when we feel frustrated or hopeless, we have to resist the temptation to throw up our hands and just sink into it and settle. Even when the path forward is not obvious, there is always something we can do to cooperate with God's grace. We need to trust that he wants to work in us and through us and with us.
And look, I'm not suggesting that every problem can be solved in our lifetime, but the spiritually solution-focused mindset helps us imagine possibilities beyond what the broken world tells us is possible. It urges us to hope, to push past limits, and to rely on God's grace rather than our own strength.
That shift, seeing problems as opportunities for God to display his power, makes us more resilient, effective, and open to the changes he wants to bring into our lives. It lets us persevere rather than settle for less than God intends for us.
So if that sounds good to you, but you're not sure how to apply it in your situation, well, let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825. Are you facing a personal or relationship challenge that you're not quite sure what to do about? Feeling a little stuck or frustrated, trying to figure out your next steps? Or maybe you're trying to help someone else who's going through a difficult time and you're not sure how to support them. Give us a call, 877 573 7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we bring to you those challenges that we face, those times that we're trying to help someone else deal with challenges, and we ask you to help us think about these problems in ways that open up our hearts to receive your grace, to see those situations through your eyes, and remain open to the solutions that you have in your heart for us, even when we can't find a way forward. We ask you now, Lord, in all those circumstances that we don't know what to do about, we place ourselves in your hands and we ask you to show us the next step and to teach us how to find that resurrection that comes after this cross. Help us to not get so caught up in looking for the big solution that we ignore the little ways that you're prompting us, leading us, encouraging us, and guiding us, so that step by step we not only can find solutions to the problems that we're encountering, but we can also draw closer to you and your providence. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
And today on More to Life, Hard Times. We're talking about those times when you're going through a rough patch and you're not quite sure what to do about it. If you're struggling in your life or your relationships in some way, or you're trying to help someone you care about, and they're not all that receptive to it. How can we support people or get through those situations ourselves? 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Alexandra, who's listening to EWTN Radio in New York.
Alexandra, welcome to Word of Life. What can we do for you?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My best friend is going through a very tough time for the past few years. She's having a lot of infertility issues, and she's basically stopped talking to me because I have three children.
And you know that's why? Has she said to you, this is just too much to be around your kids when I'm going through this kind of struggle?
Yeah.
Or are you assuming that?
No, she's voiced it. And when I give birth, we start talking again. But then when I get, when I get pregnant again, she just stops talking. It's very sensitive for her. And she has voiced that many times.
So are you pregnant right now?
Yes. I'm pregnant right now. And I'm trying to just, it looks like she's really going down the wrong path and kind of isolating herself from everyone, including her husband. And I just don't know what to do because it's very sad.
And have you talked, are you friends with her husband? Have you said to him, I not only do I miss her, but I'm starting to get concerned because isolation can, really be a sign of some mental health struggles, especially in a situation like this. Have you discussed it with him at all? Are you close enough with him to do that?
I haven't discussed it with him. I'm much closer to her mom, and I have discussed it with her, and she is also a little worried. But my friend has a very strong, stubborn character, and it's kind of hard to get through her.
Well, so the most important thing right now is just finding little ways to let her know that you are still present for her if and when she's ready to receive your friendship again.
Right, that you're supporting her in friendship, that you love her. And when we say little ways, it's a time, because she's going through this, to be able to reassure her that you are her friend, but that you are not asking a lot from her. So it's not, you send her a text, and if you don't get one back, you start to get resentful. It's actually send her a card via snail mail. Send her flowers for no reason at a different time. Little things that just say, I love you, I'm thinking about you, be done. Because you want to keep the door open. You want her to know that she is loved by you, that you're open to relationship, but during a time of struggle, you're not expecting her to put her energy into necessarily keeping up that relationship. You'll carry the weight for a while.
Yeah, and so you don't have that expectation of any kind of reciprocity right now. You're giving her that space. But you're still sending those little reminders, whether that's the cards, the flowers, the cookies in the mailbox, whatever. You know, like just those little things where you're not expecting her to, you know, even acknowledge it. You're just periodically just letting her know that you're there and that you love her and that you're thinking about her and you're praying for her. You know, you mentioned to our screener that you know, you have some concerns because she's going through IVF. So in addition to the mental health concerns, you have some moral concerns. You know, obviously that's not something that you're going to be able to address with her. You don't have enough of a relationship and the kind of relationship where that's something that she's going to be open to receiving from you. So I just wanted to talk a little bit about the difference between accompaniment and approval, because sometimes when a loved one is making choices that we know are not good for them. And by the way, for folks who are listening, the problem with IVF is it's similar in some ways to contraception, where you're splitting apart the intimate act that is meant to create a life, and you're treating life as a product. And you know, and you're creating, in fact, you know, when you do IVF, you create multiple embryos, and some of them are destroyed, and so there are multiple problems with IVF from a moral perspective. But you know, you continuing your relationship with your friend and you know, sending her a card or those flowers or, you know, baking her some cookies or just sending her a note that says I love you and I'm thinking about you, that's not supporting her in that immoral choice that she's making. That's just being present to her and letting her know that when she's ready to receive your friendship, you're there for her. And that's, I mean, God is very much that way with us, right? We do all kinds of sinful things all the time, but God is always sort of standing right there waiting for us to turn around and receive him.
He's not applauding the poor choices or the sinful choices we make, but he's there loving us, excuse me, and with his arms wide open for us to be able to rush into them and to draw closer to him, and then as part and parcel of that, correct our course.
So, you know, even if you have those concerns, and even if she isn't receptive to discussing any of that with you, you can still certainly, in fact, you should still be in relationship with her and let her know that you're there for her whenever she's ready to accept that friendship again. It's a hard position to be in, Alexandra. It's hard when a friend, you know, kind of turns their back on us. But if you can understand that's really a product of her pain and not a personal rejection of you, and keep being there for her, I think that God could really use you to bless her and to reach out to her in some pretty powerful ways. Thank you so much for the call, and if there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on More to Life. With that, we're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. Today's show is titled Hard Times, and whether you personally are going through a difficult time in your life or your relationships, or you're trying to help someone you care about who's going through a tough time but you're not sure what to do, in either case, we are here to help you break that down and find those spiritually solution-focused ways to think about the problems so that you can solve them. Give us a call, 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls coming up right after the break. Plus, we'll be joined by Rachel Isaac, who is going to share some insights from her pastoral counseling work on how we can overcome these kinds of challenges. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I said to the sisters one day, what do you think you're going to look like in heaven? Oh, some of them had absolutely magnificent ideas. I didn't think of one of them. And so I got desperate because then my turn came. I didn't know what to say. And so in desperation, I said, what do you think I'll wear in heaven? And they all said with one voice, armor!
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. The land of our Lord and our Lady is calling us. We're heading back to the Holy Land over Christmas break this year. We have the best, most reliable guides and services awaiting us. The holy sites are open, and the local Christians are anxious to see us. Galilee, Jerusalem, Nazareth, Bethlehem. No crowds, no lines. Hope you can join us.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Hard Times. Are you going through a tough time and not sure what God wants you to do? Is someone you care about going through a tough time and you're not sure how to support them? Either way, we want to help you discern your next steps and discover the clarity, confidence, and healing God has in His heart for you. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Rachel Isaac. She is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com, where she directs our program for performance excellence. Rachel, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you for having me.
And you wanted to talk a little bit about how we pursue change when the difficulties we're facing just kind of make us want to run away. I think we can all relate to that.
Well, I think we definitely can, because, you know, when we're dealing with challenges, it's very much just our typical, kind of our natural inclination, if you will, to pull away, to just essentially try to get away from the difficult thing. You know, when we're dealing with burnout at work, we think, how can I get away from work more? Or if we're dealing with a challenge in our family life, we think, I just need a break from them. But getting away from the problem doesn't help us solve the problem. So the more effective and really more prayerful response is, in what way can I lean in a healthier way? So if it's burnout at work, how can you lean into your work in a way that gets you reconnected with your why, your purpose, your passion for your work? Your why is the reason you started, the reason it matters to you. You know, leaning in doesn't mean pushing harder. Instead, it means intentionally reconnecting. The same goes for challenges in family life. Getting away from our family won't solve the problem, but leaning in by working on communication, strengthening our relationships, prioritizing having more fun or cultivating more joy together, that will help us navigate the challenge. The instinct to get away from the problem causes us to, A, hyperfixate on the problem, and B, feel powerless to the perceived threat of the problem. But leaning in allows us to reconnect, to focus on the solution, and feel empowered to make the changes that we want and need to make. So if you're feeling the pull to get away from a challenge, take the time you need to ask God, in what way are you calling me to see this differently, to reconnect differently, and to lean in with curiosity so that I can claim the power that you equip me with?
You know, it occurs to me as you're talking that you're using psychological language to talk about what it means to pick up your cross and follow after Christ. You know, I think a lot of times when we hear that verse, we think that Jesus is just saying, suck it up. You know? and that's not it at all. I mean, you know, in the face of a cross, we can do the things you talked about. We can run away from it, or we can stand there with it on our shoulder, just letting it crush us.
Yeah.
Or we can lean into it and follow after Christ and let him lead us to the resurrection that comes after. And so, you know, picking up our cross and following him doesn't just mean suck it up. It means exactly what you're talking about, leaning in and saying, okay, Lord, teach me how to carry this thing and show me where you know, what the point of it is and where I'm going with it, so that I can really learn how to respond to this in a way that bears good fruit in my own life and the lives of those this is impacting. And I think that idea is very counterintuitive, but it's exactly what God asks us to do, and it's also what good psychology points us to.
Well, and the distinction that you're making is we're not just meant to suffer for the sake of suffering, right? It goes back even to our why, right? Why did Jesus carry his cross? It was the greatest reason ever. And it was that why that carried him through that allowed him to do that. And the same thing for us is, what is that why? What is that purpose? What are we being called to? So that it's not just suffering for the sake of suffering and being miserable. It's redemptive. It's growth. And it leads us to that greater joy and abundance that God is really calling us to.
Well, I think that leads to another question, though, is like discovering that why. Like, because that's where people get stuck, too, because suffering can seem really kind of pointless. You know, it's just one more thing that I have to deal with, you know. But I think we find that why, and I'm curious what your thoughts are about this. I think we find that why by recognizing that in the face of suffering, God is always asking me to respond to it in some way that makes a positive difference, either in the thing that I'm dealing with or in the process of how I'm dealing with it, right? You know, so either I'm asking God to help me find ways to respond to the problem, or I'm asking him to help me respond to the problem in a way that allows me to be my best self while I'm dealing with the problem, or maybe both of those things. And that's how we find our why. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. And I think just the biggest thing, too, is that greater meaningfulness. You know, so what I was talking about with burnout with work, you know, is what is the meaning? I'm not just showing up every day just for the sake of working. It's, you know, I picked this career for a reason, you know, or what does this work allow me to do? How can I use my gifts and strengths to work for the good of myself and other people, right? How can I use my strengths to glorify God, right? That's the why. Working through challenges in my family life. You know, again, it's these people weren't just put in my life to make me miserable. You know, they were created with a purpose. You know, we're all created with that purpose. And so how can we work together? How can we strengthen our relationships to be the people that God created us to be, to grow into more of the people that he created us to be? There's a meaning there. There's a meaningfulness there. There's a reason there. And I think when we can kind of say, okay, what is that meaning? What are those strengths that I have that can help me be effective? What are those strengths that we have that can help us work together and be effective? Now we're connecting to that why. Now we're connecting to that meaningfulness, and we can cultivate greater meaningfulness, which allows us to build the resilience that we need to get through those difficult challenges.
Amen. Rachel, thank you so much for being with us. Rachel Isaac, she is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. where she directs our program for performance excellence, where she works with Catholic athletes, performers, executives, and other people who need to be their best under pressure. You can learn more about her work and our whole practice at CatholicCounselors.com. We're taking your calls right now on our show titled Hard Times. Whether you're going through a tough time or trying to help someone you care about who is, let us help you find the next steps.
Christ is the Answer with Father John Ricardo.
I repeat, I'm sure ad nauseum to the guys who are here, a line from Pope Benedict Emeritus now, who used to say over and over again, to be a Christian is not the result of an ethical choice, but the result of an event, an encounter, a meeting with the living God in the person of Jesus Christ. This and nothing less is what it means to be a Christian. So we said the new evangelization is new in ardor. That's a kind of old-fashioned word. What in the world is ardor? Ardor is zeal, fervor, passion. Are you passionate about Jesus? Passionate about Jesus? Are you zealous for Jesus? Are you fervent for Jesus? Are we fervent for the gospel? Are we passionate about helping this world come to know him?
The Catholic Church teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. Feeding 5,000 from a boy's 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, as recorded in John chapter 6, is quite a miracle. Yet the next day, Jesus downplays it in verse 27. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Likewise, God's provision of manna to the Israelites in the desert was also a great miracle, yet Jesus similarly downplays it in verse 49. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. Jesus is clearly stating that his Eucharist is greater than both of these amazing miracles, and the Catholic Church absolutely takes him at his word. Examining the truths of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. We parents are only human, and that's a good thing. But it also means that sometimes we say and do things around our family that we wish we hadn't. When that happens, have you ever considered apologizing to your child or spouse? It doesn't have to be a big deal. You can say something like, you know, I can tell I really hurt you when I yelled at you earlier today. I'm sorry. Can you forgive me? Some parents worry that apologizing might undermine their authority. But for Christians, true authority isn't about power and control. Rather, it flows from trusting, healthy relationships. Asking forgiveness helps to build that good kind of authority. It shows our kids that our relationship with them is based on love, truth, and generosity.
Most importantly, it shows that God is the ultimate authority in our home. When God rules our lives, we don't need to constantly project some false image of our own perfection. We can admit our mistakes because our identity and worth are rooted in our inherent dignity as God's beloved children, a dignity that doesn't depend on our perfection, but rather on God's limitless love for us. To get more help and resources, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back, folks. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, hard times. Are you going through a tough time? Or maybe someone you care about is. In either case, maybe you're not quite sure what to do to either solve that problem you're dealing with or help that person deal more effectively with their issues. We want to help you discern those next steps, cultivate that spiritually solution-focused mindset we were talking about earlier, and also just talking about with Rachel Isaac, so that you can have the clarity and confidence that you need to discover the healing that God has in store for you. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Elizabeth, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas.
Elizabeth, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Thank you. Yeah, I've been sitting here trying to think of how to formulate my question. As with any relationship, there's a lot going on, but I come from a big family, 10 kids, and there's several adoptees. And as an adult with adult siblings, I have really struggled to know how to respond to some of the just patterns in my adopted siblings' lives. And I try to be open and supportive, but a lot of them seem to be withdrawn and as adults, and sometimes keep things to themselves that you would think that they'd want to share with family. And so something came up recently where a sibling had big news and they didn't share it till after it happened.
Yeah, I'm seeing on my board here that you told our call screener that your brother and his wife had a baby, and you none of you knew they were even expecting a baby. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this is just really surprising, and somewhat hurtful. But I don't want to make it about me. It's obviously not about me.
Elizabeth, let me ask you a question. Is it really surprising? I mean, he didn't tell you the news, but what it says to me is that, you know, he's not talking to 9 other people in the family on a normal basis. So
there's a larger disconnect.
There's a big disconnect that you would think, you know, sure, a big event like having a baby, but if you're not really attached to a group of people, it doesn't come as that big a surprise.
Let me ask you this. So when you describe this, I mean, obviously this is one example, right? But are you saying that this is common among the adopted siblings, or is this the whole family?
Well, a lot of us have codependent behaviors. I will admit that.
What do you mean?
I'm sure there's a lot going on. You know, it's a family system, but. And I'm a counselor, so I think
when you say codependent, though, define that briefly in terms of how your sibling group plays that out.
I don't know. It's just there can be a lot of games, or feeling like there's games being played, or emotional expectations that people feel, or anxiety people feel in their attachment, shall I say.
Sure.
And so I can see that. I can kind of zoom out and see, like, oh yeah, this is totally what's going on. But when you're in the middle of it, you're a family member like I am. I don't always know, do people actually want these walls up, and so I should just step away, or do they want someone to pursue them and say, no, I love you, I'm still here for you, you know?
Which
I want to
have
see.
You ever asked them?
You know, there's just a lack of genuineness that I've I've tried to have honest conversations, and I feel like I'm not really talking to the person.
I think that answers your question, though, because what you're really running up against here, you know, you say that you're a counselor, you know, so you know, when I talk about attachment styles, you're going to know what I'm talking about here. But for the rest of the audience who might not be as aware of it, although it's become much more popular, you see it all over Instagram and TikTok and all. You know, I suspect that, you know, you're talking about both anxious and avoidant attachment. You know, with anxious attachment, you've got people who, you know, are having a hard time being genuine and being, you know, kind of authentic, and they want to be in a relationship, but they don't necessarily know how to pursue it. People with avoidant attachment styles, you know, they like the idea of a relationship, but they don't have a first clue about how to let people really in. And that's kind of what you're describing in your family relationships. If you go to somebody and you say, hey, I'd like to have a better relationship with you, and they're like, yeah, and then they don't follow up, that's your answer. You know, the best that we can do, and this is going to be hard for you, you know, both as a caring person and as a counselor who likes to fix things. I mean, I can relate, right?
And just a sibling who wants your family to stick together.
This is going
to
be hard for you, but the best thing that you can do, the only thing you can do, is let people know that the door is open for a relationship when they want you to be part of their lives. And like we were talking about with the previous caller,
Alexandra earlier, about her best friend who kind of checks out whenever she's pregnant.
You send them that occasional text, you send them that occasional card, you let them know in little ways that you care about them and you love them, but you don't pursue them. You let them know the door is open if and when they'd like to walk through it, but you're not exhausting yourself feeling like you have to be the family savior, pursuing the family and holding it together and trying to make it work. You know, especially as Catholics, you know, we have this idea that family is supposed to be a particular way. And especially, you know, the big Catholic family kind of mindset we have is, well, we should be this community of love. And then we try to make that happen, and then our brothers and sisters don't cooperate. And then we feel like we've failed. And it's not about any of that. It's with anybody. We recognize that the best I can do is leave the door open to relationship, and specifically leave the door open to healthy relationship, right? And me exhausting myself, pursuing everybody all the time is not healthy. In fact, that's codependent tendency you were just talking about. When I feel like it's my job to go and constantly pursue that other person and make them love me and make them want to be part of my life, that's actually anxious attachment right there, right? So you want to be careful about that and set those boundaries, not in a harsh way, but in a way that says, you know, I'm here. If you want, you know, and I'm going to let you know that I'm here and that, oh, I'm thinking about you this month or this week, or, you know, whatever. And I'm here if you want a relationship with me. And if you don't, I'm going to get on with my life. But you're always welcome to come alongside of me whenever you're ready for that. And that's where you kind of have to get yourself to, so that you can leave that door open, but not exhaust yourself pursuing everybody or trying to be the family savior. So that may be challenging, and might, you know, as counselors, sometimes we need to get some counseling ourselves to help with that. And so if we can support you in that process, don't hesitate to reach out to us. But I think you've got a lot of tools, in addition to the suggestions we've made here on the call, that you could start running with this yourself too.
And just for the larger audience here, because Elizabeth, I think, you know, you really understand this much more deeply than you realize. But for the larger audience who's saying, well, wait a minute, you know, here's this great family. They had 10 kids. No matter if you have two kids or a zillion kids, what research is finding out more and more and more is that when they become adults, unless they begin to actually curate relationships with each other outside of the big family holidays, mom and dad if they're still on the planet, if they don't start curating relationships with each other, the group text, the text to each other, the, hey, let's get together and do this if we live close enough, the sending each other jokes. If that doesn't happen, they don't stay a sibling group, because we take so much for granted. You know, we come from a civilization where if you were part of the clan, whatever that clan was that kept your village safe and alive, you stayed with those people forever and you had loyalty to those people forever, because that's how you stayed safe and alive. In modern times, with everybody kind of moving to different places without the same absolute necessity of being together all the time, something that for generations all the way back to the beginning took for granted is no longer the case, and we actually have to start truly curating friendships, relationships with our siblings in adulthood. It's a very strange new phenomenon, but it's true.
But the flip side of that, okay, for you, Elizabeth, is that it can't be entirely up to you to make that happen.
There's a difference between curating and chasing.
Yeah. Thank you. That's exactly what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Then you hit it right on the head. Curating is saying, I'm here, I'm thinking about you, I'm available to you. And if you want to be in a relationship with me, you need to reach back. Chasing is, why can't we be this close family that I envision us to be? How come you don't return my calls? Why don't you want to spend time with me?
Offering that out to them. Even if you don't say that to them, it's that neediness within ourselves that when they don't get back to us, we are just stewing about it. We are blaming ourselves. What's wrong with me? Why don't they love me? And that is Satan lying to you instead of giving you the freedom to say, we're all adults. I'd like to curate a relationship with my siblings. It would be nice for all of us to know each other's children and children's children. But I'm not pinning my value on how those relationships work out because I know we're all dealing with our own stuff. So I can pray for them, pray for healing in the relationship, and reach out in just genuine ways that invite them in without pressuring them or putting too much of it on myself.
I want to throw out one last point, okay? And because you might, I'm imagining, you know, what might you say to this, or what might anybody else who's listening say to this?
Sure.
And the objection is, but they're my family.
Right.
But they're
That's
my
what
family.
I'm saying.
I'm supposed to make this
yeah.
work. So you've all heard the expression, blood is thicker than water. I learned something recently that's not the whole saying. The whole saying is the blood of the covenant is thicker than the water of the womb.
Wow.
That is, and it goes back to the ancient church, which was saying that grace is thicker than blood, right?
Well,
that
the blood of the covenant is thicker than the waters of
the womb.
The covenant that holds us together as Christians.
When we are baptized Christians,
yeah.
our family becomes our other brothers and sisters in Christ.
And, of course, if we are sacramentally attached to a spouse, that blood of that covenant is even, you know,
right.
more intense. Yeah.
But it's not that family blood is thicker than the water of friendship. It's the blood of the covenant is thicker than the water of the womb. And so your family are your brothers and sisters in Christ and the people who are walking with you on that journey toward Christ together. And if your actual physical brothers and sisters want to come along with that, they can be part of that family too and participate
in that. Part of that covenant, yeah.
But if not, it's okay to leave them to figure out their own way.
Yeah. Wishing them the best, praying that they can heal whatever wounds they have, praying that, you know, hey, Lord, if you want us to be part of that covenant together, if you want us to be close as we move through life, please open those doors and heal our connections. But that is a very profound statement because we really did always hear blood's thicker than water, which means family should stick together no matter what. And it just
the blood of the covenant
wasn't set up that way.
And that's what the saying really is.
And in modern times, you know, we're seeing that in abundance. So,
Elizabeth, thank you so much for the call. I hope that these suggestions will help you think about your relationships with your siblings differently. And if you have other questions, don't hesitate to call us back here. If you want to, you know, kind of hash this out with one of members of our team, you know, we'd be happy to talk with you about all this at CatholicCounselors.com. Thank you so much for the call, for your beautiful heart, and for the work that you do to build the kingdom. With that, we're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18.
So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away. Our inner self is being renewed day by day. What is seen is transient. What is unseen is eternal.
You know, and St. Paul reminding us here that we aren't to look at the problem that we're facing, the seen things, right? What is seen is transient. But what is unseen, the grace, is eternal. And we cling to that grace. We lean into the cross, and we ask God to help us to see it through his eyes so that we can begin to imagine the possibilities that exist through grace, even when we are not sure what to do ourselves. Great reminder to keep persevering in the power of faith. With that, we got to take a break, but when we come back, continuing to take your calls, are you going through a tough time right now and not sure what to do about it? Is someone you care about going through a tough time and you're not sure how to support them? 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue right after the break. Stick around.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
What will happen when Jesus Christ comes to judge the living and the dead? On the last day, the Catholic Catechism tells us everything will be laid bare, the deeds, thoughts, and works of all men and women. Then will culpable unbelief be condemned. Culpable unbelief discounts the offer of God's grace as nothing. Our attitude toward our neighbor will reveal our acceptance or rejection of God's grace and divine love. Our Lord will say, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me." Though Christ is given authority over all judgment, a right he acquired by way of the cross as Redeemer of the world, Jesus did not come to judge but to save and to give the life he has within himself. If we reject the grace we receive in this life, we already judge ourselves according to our works. We can even condemn ourselves for all eternity by rejecting the Spirit of love. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, hard times. Are you going through a tough time and not quite sure what to do about it or what God's calling you to do about it? Or maybe someone you care about is going through a tough time and you're not sure how to support them. Either way, we're here for you. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Suzanne, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio.
Suzanne, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Thank you. After listening to the show, I should have called about my second grandson, but the topic I'm sure will come up again, so I'll have a chance. Or I'll just, you know, find a day when it would fit in well. But anyway, I have a friend that I've been worrying about for several months, and she has shared with me that her particular job gives her no benefits, no health benefits. She doesn't really get paid time off, and she barely makes over her minimum wage, and she's really struggling. She's had her car repossessed. She shares with me that she can't pay rent, and she has trouble with the apartment. And I came across a job not too long ago that sounded like it was made for her, and it would have given her everything this present job does not. And it also, she's almost 50, and she's got some health issues and pain issues that are aggravated by her present job. And when she talked to me about this job I had sent her, she thanked me, but she said, you know, I need to wait and hear from the Lord. And I said, well, is it possible that the Lord is using me to speak to you that you need to make a change?
Yeah.
And I even shared with her one of my most favorite jokes, though it's not really funny, but and I'm sure you've heard this, there's a severe flood going on. Imagine
my favorite joke.
The helicopter,
go ahead, yeah.
The boats and all the, yeah, yeah. I sent you a helicopter, yeah. I sent you, but why, yeah.
It's absolutely my favorite joke.
No, exactly. And how did she respond to all that?
It is true.
Like, it just went over her head. And, and as I told your screener, I said, I feel like all I am left with is prayer. I mean, I see a lot of jobs. She even has a degree in social work that she's not using. She could be doing better. And I've almost come to the conclusion she doesn't have either the self-worth to do better or she doesn't deserve to do better. And I wonder sometimes, was I wrong in what I said to her?
No, not at all. No, I think you're absolutely right. And I think that God is using you to try to reach out to her. But, you know, the reality is sometimes we can be a little thick-headed. And, you know, God sends that boat and he sends that helicopter and he sends that best friend to tell us about that new job. And we don't listen to him.
Yeah. For whatever reason, either because we're stubborn or because we're in some kind of pain. You know, she might be suffering from a depression, especially since she's got so much pain in her life. You may want to suggest that she talk to her physician about that possibility. But for whatever reason, there's a differentiation. Some people want to tell their woes to their friends because they feel a little bit of relief when they do, but they don't actually really want help. And other people tell their woes to people so that they can make more connections and have possibilities to change things in their lives.
At the very least,
seems to be falling into.
It sounds like she's got a lot going on. I mean, not just practically with the financial pressures and, you know, those temporal things, but emotionally as well. But I'll throw this out. This might be something you could talk to her about. Maybe it'll you know, ring some bells for her, maybe not. But there's something called the sunk cost fallacy. The sunk cost fallacy is the feeling that, you know, I'm already losing, so I need to try again. So I maybe, you know, even if I lose some more, I've already lost so much that I have to keep trying to get something out of this thing.
So she's staying with the job, you're saying, because she's put so much into it, eventually she thinks it'll pay off.
Or she has to make it pay off in some way, right? You know, we do this with relationships that don't work. We do this with jobs that aren't working. I mean, honestly, a couple of years ago, I had this experience with a contract that I was doing with an organization that was just tearing me apart. But I'd worked so hard for them already, I had to figure out how to make it work. And I had to learn my own lesson in there. You know, so I think we all can get stuck in that place with this sunk cost fallacy, the idea that I put so much into this already, it would be a shame to walk away from it now. And I think that if you can explain that to her that way, maybe that would ring some bells, maybe not, depending a lot on how much, you know, internal wounding she's got to deal with that's got her stuck here too. Because, you know, sometimes that sunk cost fallacy can then also big pile onto what, you know, we were talking earlier about anxious attachment. You know, with anxious attachment, I grew up in a household where love wasn't really given freely. I had to earn it. And so now I find myself in adulthood falling into relationships and workplace scenarios where it's not going to work, but I have to figure out how to make it work.
Yeah, and you're not saying that to you personally. That's what the person would
with
feel.
With an anxious attachment style. Yeah. So if you've got this sunk cost fallacy piggybacking on top of an anxious attachment style, piggybacking on top of some of the depression, now you got a triple threat. And I suspect that's probably what she's dealing with. And that I do believe that God is using you to just kind of give her little nudges and say, hey, you know, I have a plan for you if you want to take it. So I would you know, continue to be in the relationship. But what we were saying earlier with our, you know, a previous caller who was dealing with the siblings, you know, it's not your job to save her. It's your job to give her an invitation, but not to fix her problem for her.
Right.
To show her the door, hold the door open and say, hey, look, there's a job opportunity. Or, hey, you know, I learned this thing from listening to this program today.
Or, hey, you might be having some depression. Let's, you know, make an appointment for you, for your physician. I'll be willing to, you know, hold your hand through
that. But you hold the door open for her,
but
you don't drag her through it.
So, Suzanne, if this is starting to drain you, if you're working much, much, much harder on her life than she is, that's when you start to work, do your own work and try to step back. Because, yes, you want to help her. We're all told by God, you know, be the good Samaritan. The thing is that when that person was beat up on the side of the road and the good Samaritan came along and said, let me get you to a hospital and get you some help, the good Samaritan went. You know, the victim went. He didn't kick the guy and say, no, I'll wait for, you know, another person to come and get me, or the helicopter or the boat or the things that we were just joking about. Pull back enough that you aren't draining yourself. But if you do see jobs, continue to offer it. Have the conversation, but work on your own emotional caretaking in this situation.
Suzanne, thank you so much for the call. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out here on the program. And folks, if you are going through a tough time and you're really looking for ways to respond to that gracefully and begin to discover the plan God has for your life, both while you're dealing with the problem and after, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We can hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life in the light of God's grace. That's CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. Until next time, remember that with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Get out there and have a blessed day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.